Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
On May 8, 1814, Emma Hart Willard opened the doors to the school that now bears her name under the bold belief that girls deserve the same quality education afforded their brothers. Emma Willard School celebrated their bicentennial last weekend with more than 1,400 guests on their Troy campus.
Emma Hart Willard was inducted in the National Women's Hall of Fame last year for her efforts in the support of women's education. Today, her school has approximately 8,000 living graduates around the globe, including New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Academy Award winner Jane Fonda. The school also counts among its graduates women's rights advocate and former Emma Hart Willard pupil Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
Here to tell us more about the school's history and future are Trudy Hall, the 16th head of Emma Willard School and president of the Board of Trustees of the National Coalition of Girls' Schools. And we also welcome Trudy Hammer, who is the associate head emerita at Emma Willard School. She is also a history instructor, college counselor, and author of the recently released Wrought with Steadfast Will, A History of Emma Willard School, a beautiful book telling the history and certainly in time for the bicentennial. Trudy and Trudy, thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you both here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So, Trudy Hall, let us begin with you of what the celebration has been like for you over the last several weeks and months of putting all this together.
I have to tell you, there are absolutely no words that could capture the experience that we enjoyed on our week this past weekend when everybody rallied around. And I really think, it was Emma Hart Willard we celebrated, but more importantly, it was the fact that her vision is alive and well and vibrant. So we have really gone at this for a full 18 months now, and it's been exciting.
Now, Trudy, if you had to, if I gave you an exercise, which is to use one descriptor, one adjective, to name the philosophy of the school, what would it be?
Just one.
One. Yeah, that's why it's so hard.
Empowerment. Empowerment. Empowerment.
Interesting.
And that's instilled the very first year when a student arrives.
It's a journey. It's a process. It's a continual process. It's in the air, but for every child, it's a different journey. For every young woman, it's a different experience.
If the two poles are liberal and conservative in terms of your approach to education, where would the needle be closer to?
I'm going to have Trudy Hamner answer that one as well, because she studied it for over 100 years.
Liberal.
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
And if you were to compare yourself with other private schools or independent schools, as you like to be called, I'm sure, you know, would you say, you know, that's why people tend to send their kids to Emma Willard, because it is more towards the liberals' pole?
I don't think parents send them because of the liberal pole. I think they send them because of the high quality of the academics, which tends to be so.
Yeah.
No. Well, and one more thing I would have to say, I don't think parents send their girls to Emma. I think girls choose to go to Emma, and that's a real distinctive difference.
Well, talk about that for a moment. How does that work? I mean, where does a kid learn that Emma would be the right place to go?
What's fascinating to understand in our culture now is that single-sex education is actually a counter-cultural choice. Yeah. And it really wasn't throughout history. And so these are young women who are brave enough and individual enough to actually choose to educate themselves in an environment that's no longer considered, quote unquote, the norm.
So are they better off in that culture, or are they better off in a more mixed culture?
No, that was a softball. They are far better off in our culture.
And why? And Trudy, why is that?
Because they actually, in that opportunity, in that experience, they get to focus on who they are. They get to focus on their own intellectual voice. They get to become an individual and understand what it means to be an individual in the absence of an agenda that's put on them by the outside culture.
Listen, you know, let me just say premise that I agree with the premise. I think you're right. But the sooner or later, they got to get out in the world, right? And they have to face all of those
and girls, they're the much Trudy. Better off when they get out in the world if they have been empowered by Emma Willard.
Because
of their empowerment because they know their voices. They know that they have an authentic voice to contribute to the conversation.
And I would say the same thing, that no one says high school is the real world. High school is where you prepare for the real world, and that's the gift we give them.
When they come to you for 9th through 12th grade, typically they come to you from, or is there no typical of their background? Is it a public school background? Is it a private school background?
It's completely mixed. There are many, many girls who come in from their local public junior high, but there are also girls who have been in independent day schools, pre-K through 8.
So what percentage is scholarship?
52%.
That's huge.
That's huge. Also, about 25% from around the globe. So 34 different countries are represented on our campus, about 70% boarders and 30% day students.
Yeah, I found that interesting. What, 340 students, that 200 or so are boarding and the rest are day students.
So how do the farmers and the cattlemen get along?
and that is the magic of the SLU. It's actually one of the premises on which we're founded, a distinctive worldview, that you get a distinctive worldview from surrounding yourself with people who have distinctive worldviews. So when Ukraine was in the news, we actually have students who are from Ukraine.
How did that play out? That's fascinating. How did that play out? What did you have to counsel? Did you have to get involved? I mean, what happened?
They actually become storytellers for their peers, and they're actually able to make the national news, the international news, real for their peers in a very authentic way.
I want to talk a little bit about the book and about the history that you have written of this incredible institution. The first time I really read in depth about Emma Willard was in David McCullough's A Greater Journey, and so much talking about going to Paris and the influence, and I found that story to be fascinating. So ultimately, how did she end up here in Troy and wanting this particular mission?
The one part of her vision that has not borne fruit is that she came to Troy hoping that New York would provide public funds for her school. Mm. She wanted it to be a publicly supported school, not an independent school. Mm. And she was of the mind that DeWitt Clinton, unlike the people who were running Vermont, which is where she started the school, that right. DeWitt Clinton was more progressive and that he would be able to persuade the legislature to fund it. And he was able to persuade the assembly, but not the Senate.
Now, the reason that she felt so strongly about that is that she felt that the selection of students would be altered by if it was free education.
Not so much that as her deep dismay that government funds supported boys' education, but not girls' education, mm-hmm. and that it should be equal.
So now we have charter schools.
Right.
So it's all these years later, but the government is doing exactly that, if you think about it.
Yes.
You were spoken a moment ago about how single-sex education is counterculture, and so many, especially when we look in higher education, that single-sex schools have given in and have gone co-ed. Has that ever been on the radar at Emma Willard?
Absolutely. Several times.
Is it still? I mean, do you think of that or you move way past that?
It hasn't been for several decades. Trudy, I think, probably is more familiar with the last time it was ever discussed, but it hasn't been discussed during my 15 years.
The last serious time was in 85, 86. Mm. And it came at the tail end of a many, many boys' schools and girls' schools going co-ed in the independent school world. And it was discussed very seriously at the board level, and it was determined that we had a mission.
In girls' schools, there has been a rediscovery, if you will, of the research and the promotion of why indeed girls' schools are really environments where girls can thrive. Trudy was also a co-editor and author of a book with Carol Gilligan, and you may want to say something about
that. Who's been on our air with Joe many times.
Right? And that was really the beginning of a number of books which dealt with the ways in which girls learn and an ethic of care they have.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Making Connections, which was published in 1989, and the last time I was on this show.
Right.
and the that gave real strength. It was Gilligan's really central work on girls' moral development, and it gave real strength to the idea that girls' schools have a place.
So there's Emma Willard, obviously. There's the Albany Academy, and they're both. There's the, you know, they have a brother school. Does Emma Willard have anything like a brother school?
No.
But see, the head of Albany Academy and I have talked about this before. The two schools are really quite different. Right from the get-go, we're only 9 through 12. They have a K-12 program.
Right.
Secondly, we have boarders who live there, so the ambiance is different. And third, there's never a moment when a boy is in one of our academic classes unless he's been invited there for a very specific educational purpose. And that makes us very distinctive. The presence of boys in the classroom is what makes a girls' school a girls' school. The absence of boys in the classroom is what makes a girls' school a girls' school. And that doesn't happen at Emma, and it does happen over at Albany Academy. So as I said to you before, I mean, I think those are two very distinctive school environments. Holy Names, I have to give a shout out to Holy Names,
sure,
is actually a girls' school that we would consider to be our partner in this endeavor.
When you think about, and I assume that over this time you have thought quite a bit about this, of what the future is.
We think about it all the time.
So we raise it as a central premise of that is, can you continue to raise the money you need to run the school?
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. We have a number of very proud alums, 8,000 or so, who are committed to ensuring that this school succeeds over the long haul. More critically, I think, than that is that the school has a mission beyond Troy. The school has a mission beyond this region. The school has an international mission.
Well, Emma Willard School is located on Pauling Avenue in Troy, New York. You can find out more information by going to emmawillard.org. Trudy Hall is the head of Emma Willard School and president of the Board of Trustees of the National Coalition of Girls' Schools. Trudy Hemner is the associate head emerita at Emma Willard School and the author of the incredible book, Wrought with Steadfast Will, A History of Emma Willard School. I thank you both for being with us this morning. A delight to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're listening to the Roundtables live broadcast from the Albany Symphony's American Music Festival at MPAC on WAMC.